Y'all turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read some. I feel very centered on what I'm trying to say. I just feel very scattered in Scripture because I'm going to be all over the place on Scripture. I'll try not to be too long to muddy the water. I'm okay with hitting it in pieces and letting you just get a bite of this and let that maybe hopefully whet your appetite for more. We'll treat it like a tapas, okay? It's like a tapas bar tonight where you come in and you get just you get a bite of this and a bite of this and a bite of this, but it hopefully it will stir you into more. I'm going to start in verse 16, Ephesians 3. Backdrop, just hold it in Ephesians 3. I want to backdrop this for you. Sarah's faith embraced, three words, embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. Embraced, rested, and then tapped into. And when I use the word tap into, I want you to think in your mind, taproot. The taproot of a tree is a root that goes deep and it finds the water levels. It's the main one that goes down and provides. It finds the place of sustenance. And so I want you to think into that. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Damon preached a message on our root system, a powerful word. I probably listened to it six times in the last 2 weeks. He was putting more emphasis on our root systems with each other. Our root system's in a place which is extremely valuable, extremely valuable. But I want us to talk about what our root system looks like in Christ and how we tap into when we let our root system go deep. Because it seems like the last several months, I'm just going to be honest with y'all this morning, just kind of share my heart. I think that's what we're supposed to do every time anyway. I'm kind of past the point of trying to impress you and all of that good stuff. The last several months, man, my heart's been hurt for kingdom men that have been falling. Whether it's large scale, international loan, huge, you know, what we would consider champions of the faith, or local guys in Bremen, Georgia. And it hurts my heart because they fall into stuff. They allow themselves to fall into stuff, and it derails their life, at least for the moment. I'm not saying they can't, you know, get back on track and can't get back into kingdom living and kingdom man and all that. But in the short term, their life is turned upside down, and everybody that's around them in their life. And I'm like, God, it just isn't right. It's so contradictory to God's promises for us. And I don't ever want to get there. I don't ever want to be the King David that has Uriah the Hittite put to death. And he ended well. David ended well. But, man, there for a moment, there for a time, he totally derailed. And, you know, and I've just been, you know, over the past several months, you know, just thinking and meditating and trying to be contemplative and be like, okay, God, what do I want my life to look like? You know, I write something on my desk pad every month, and it says, it's a quote I heard from a minister, and it's, let God determine the scope of your life, but you determine the depth of your life. Let God determine the scope, but you determine the depth. And I'm like, man, I feel like the Lord, in listening to this message that Damon's been talking about on our root system and all of that, our family logo, if you will, we chose our family of a farm's name is Abiding Farms. And it's out of John 15, abiding in the vine. And he says, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And we chose that. And for our logo, we've got an oak tree. And it's a big, you know, it kind of reminds me of a live oak. But it's a big oak tree, but the root system that is shown on the logo is as big as what you see. What's underneath is as big as what you see on top. And I think what we do is we get focused as people, as men, we get focused on our reach, we get focused on our leaf, and we neglect our root. And that's how it happens, Linda. I think we focus on the leaf, we focus on the reach, we focus what we can touch, and we neglect the root. And if I can do anything this morning, I want to bring your attention to put light on you focusing on the root. Because, Tyler, I don't want to come home in 10 years and be like, well, man, did you hear about Tyler? I want to look at you, man, and, you know, we have in ministry and in church life, you have people and they come and they go, and you have people in different seasons of life that they're in and out. And some seasons of life, they're just super busy. We've got several families on the ball fields this morning. You know, that's okay. I'm not throwing rocks at that by any means. But one thing that I want to do is I want to be a constant. I want to be consistent. I want it to be where you don't have to worry about where Brother Sid stands in his walk and in his journey and his faith. I don't want my daughters to worry about me doing something stupid and turning our family into a train wreck. Because that's not going to happen. Because God's got my focus and my attention on my root system. Because if I worry about and if I focus, not worry about, but if I focus and I rest and I am rooted and established in Him, the leaves will take care of itself. The reach will take care of itself. The touch will take care of itself. And if anything, I want us to be, Alec, I want you to be a man that, 20 years from now, you're unshakable and you're unwavering in your faith. You're unwavering in your commitment to Ashley. You're unwavering in your walk with Christ, that you still take that walk with Him. And it's not a thing of, oh, man, you know, he got caught up in this and all of that. And, I don't ever want you to be that guy. I want you to just be like, you know, he calls us mighty oaks of righteousness in Isaiah. He said, man, you're planted by the waters with a strong root system. Your leaf doesn't fade. We're going to read Psalm 1 in a minute. And that's what I want us to be, that there's never a question and there's never a doubt, you know. What's going on with, I'll speak to us older, you know, us fathers in the house, to James. There's never a doubt with your children that man, my dad is still taking the walk with Jesus. He's still showing up for the walk. He's still taking the walk with my mom. They're still holding hands and all that. Errol texted us last night after dinner and said, hey, we're hanging out on the back porch and watching a Braves game if y'all want to come hang out with us and all that. And I sent her a text back and I said, thanks, but me and mom's chilling on the back porch with Jazz, so we're good. We'll see you tomorrow. And I don't want her to ever worry that mom and dad's sitting on the back porch holding hands. That's as it should be. Because I want us to, God wants us to, He implores us to focus on our root system. And not just the leaf. Not just what the world sees or what we think, oh, this is what I want to achieve. But I want my roots to be right. I want them to go deep. I want them to tap into the Lord. And so this is kind of the backdrop of where I'm coming from this morning. Let's look in Ephesians 3. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, and I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Verse 17, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. What did Hebrews 11 say about? And man, this is talking about Sarah, Old Testament, in an inferior covenant that said that she tapped into the faithfulness of the Lord. She put her root system into God's faithfulness, that He promised it. He said that He was going to do this. I know I'm old. I'm my womb is dead beyond the years of childbearing, but I'm trusting and I am sending my root system deep into what? The faithfulness of the Lord. And so he comes in and he says, then by constantly using your faith. On our context this morning, I'm equating that into my faith root system. That my faith in him, my confidence in him, my trust in him, I'm thankful for her. She's amazing. She's a gift from God to me. She's a gift from God to you guys. But I tell you what, my root system is not deep in her. My root system is deep in him. Our root system is intertwined together, but it is not a ball of roots in itself. It is deep in him. And so it says, take your faith, constantly using your faith. And I'm going to tie this in with Psalm 1 in just a second, guys. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. What activates that? Us taking our faith and tapping into it. Us tapping into that water level. Think about a drill well. You go down until you hit what? The aquifer. You go down until you hit the water table. And once you hit that water table, then it releases, you know, how many feet per, you know, per second or however they measure that, you know, cubic feet per second, how you measure water. And tapping into that. And I'll, by constantly using my faith, you know what? I'm probing deeper and I'm probing deeper and I'm probing deeper and I'm probing deeper. I think that's why we've kind of hit a, I'll be honest with you and just speak for me and Lori, and I think we're on the same page in this. That's kind of why we've hit a wall on the last two or three what should be wow trips we came back from, Randy, and it was just kind of like, eh. It doesn't mean you're jaded or you're spoiled or anything like that. It just means that you're not satisfied in that. You're not finding peace, joy, contentment in that. It can be good. It can be a good time. But it is not going to, that man, it is not going to do it in here. It is not going to be the constant in our life that brings life to us, that brings his life in us. And I want you to understand that. I want you young people to understand that, because we think as young people, if I can make it, if I can get this, If I can get financially settled, if I can be secure, if I can get the, you fill in the blank, because it's on all different levels. If I can get the right car or the right truck, which are $80,000 now, if I can get the right truck, if I can get the right house, if I can get the beach house or the beach condo or the lake house or the mountain house or whatever, then boy, that's going to just complete me. And I promise you it won't. If I can go on the right trip, you guys love to travel and there's beautiful places out there, but none of it is going to fulfill and satisfy and sustain and move you into these places that he has for us. And I want our focus to be on the root system that we have and how deep are we going into the Lord, the tap root. Let's continue to read this. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. The life of Christ, think about all that entails. We can't even wrap our heads around that. But that'll be what's released inside of you. With that's going to come passion. With that's going to come creativity. With that is going to unlock all of these things. Teach you how to lead. Teach you how to minister to what's in front of you. Teach you how to do life. The life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. I don't know about you guys, but verse 17 sounds like an amazing promise to me. The life of Christ is going to be released deep inside of me. The resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. What's he saying? The resting place of his love is going to be in here. That is fulfillment, that is contentment, that is peace, that is hope, that is all of these things, that it's resting right in here, inside of you. Not something that you've got to reach for, not something that you've got to try to attain, it's in here. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but he also said the kingdom of heaven is within you. Did he not? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but the kingdom of heaven is within you. And Jesus said, I am coming in, and the resting place of my love will become the very source and root of your life. Let's read these other verses just because they're good. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Then in verse 20, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Sound pretty good? Sound pretty amazing? Sound like a full life, a complete life? I think so. Sounds like Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, where it says, arise and shine, let your light be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles, which was symbolizing the people that are outside the covenant. And we look at our life and we're like, you know, who, me? And He's like, yeah, absolutely you. That I want to do this in you. I want this to do this through you. I want you to exude peace, joy, hope, and love. I want you to exude unwavering. I want you to just bubble over with just a consistent, steady, stable walk with the Lord. Not that, God, mom and dad gonna make it. I don't want our kids to worry about that. I don't want your grandchildren to be like, man, or, you know, I forgot what they call y'all. Pop and Gaga. Or Pop and Gaga, you know, are they going, it's just always there. Unwavering. Shouldn't shock them that y'all were at church last week watching them get baptized. Man, that's who we are. It's who we are as a family. It's who my mama is and my daddy is, and that's who my papa and my gaga are. That there's a peace and there's a rest in that. There's a stability in that because of your root system, not because your leaf. And we've tried, as church, we've tried to make it about the leaf because that's what the world sees. And we propped it up with gimmicks. We propped it up with smoke shows. We propped it up with good music and all of this stuff. And somewhere along the way, we've neglected the root system. And I want us to be, man, we're small, but we're not small. We're small, but I consider us big. We're small. We just, sometimes me and Lori look and we say, we all right for a, you know, and I'm not talking about we made it, but, you know, just a couple of high school kids from Harrelson County. You know, this county school. And we're doing all right. Look at us now. 42 years later, still loving each other, still loving Jesus. Unwavering in those two things. Unwavering in those two things. Steadfast in where our root system is going, and I want it to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. My focus right now in my life is my root system and what it looks like. Not only for the substance and support it brings into my life, but for the stability it brings in those around me. Y'all remember years ago I told you about Rhett and Errol's wedding. They got married at Boone Hall up in Charleston. And it's a beautiful place. It's on the intercoastal waterway up there. And they've got these massive live oak trees that somebody planted hundreds of years ago, and they line the sand dirt drive that goes into the plantation house. And they got married at the gate at the end of those trees, and it talked about, yeah, we had to rebuild the docks and all of this because a few years ago, you know, Hurricane Hugo or whatever came in and did so much damage in Charleston and wiped out all of this stuff. And I'm looking at those live oak trees, and those live oak trees are unwavering, and they're still there, and they're still 200 years old. And the first time we went and visited one of the, I forgot, people that, you know, the historians that was there, they said the thing about these trees is they're planted in such a way that their root systems, they intertwine so they don't stand alone, because if they stand alone they can't do the hurricane. But when they're intertwined, they can find strength in each other, and they can resist the storms, and they can endure the storms, and actually flourish from some of the stuff of the storms, because they are intertwined. And my focus on my root system right now is not just about me, so I'll make it, but I want to be a support for everybody that's intertwined around me. That it may be, man, maybe they're kind of getting blown this way a little bit, but their roots can lock in with this. And that's kind of alluding to Damon's sermon. And that's not my message this morning is for us and our root system in Christ. Deborah, you're the matriarch. Your children, your grandchildren. You know what they need out of you? Man, she's so deep in Christ. Her roots in them. She ain't flashy on this. She ain't flashy on that. But man, she is, the still water runs deep thing. But that root system is there. And it's tapped into God. It's resting in God. It's in His faithfulness, unwavering, unshakable. That's what I need out of her. That's what I desire out of her. That's what brings me life. It's the root system she has. It's not the leaf. The leaf's still beautiful, but it's not the leaf. It's the root system. And that's what I want you guys just to begin to look and say, what is my root system like that? What does it look like? Because I'm just afraid that a lot of people, the reason they get tripped up and their life turns into a train wreck, even if it's a temporary train wreck, I think it's because the root system got neglected. I don't think it's because the leaf didn't get polished or the leaf didn't get enough sun. I think the root system got neglected. Red is a young man, is a young father. I know you're mid-30s now, but that's a young man to me. The root system, dude, that's everything. That's the key to you guys. That's the key to your daughters. That's the key to your grandchildren that's locked up in their wombs right now is your root system. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. I want to, and keep a, I'm going to keep a marker on this, where it says, then by constantly using your faith, turn to Psalm 1. We are in the Passion Translation. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. Verse 2, his passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. Now we'll spend a second now, because the Lord really spoke to me on this verse in what we're talking about, our root system. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am. Now, if we were in Old Testament, you could look and say, well, he's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the law. He's talking about the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, and the writings of the prophets, whatever was written at this point and all. But we know what the true word is, and what is that? It's Yeshua, it's Jesus. This helps us in knowing him and understanding him. This is beautiful and this is valuable, but this doesn't mean just learn the Bible, read the Bible. That word meditate is a contemplative lifestyle. It's taking a walk. It's just being still in his presence. It's in feeling his rhythm and letting him move and stir and just soaking in that presence. Lori loves to soak. There's something powerful and therapeutic about soaking. She likes to soak in a hot tub or bathtub. She just likes to soak, like most of you ladies do. But there's something that is just about soaking in the presence of the Lord. It said his passion is to remain true to the bigger than the Bible, but including the Bible, the I am. Meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. Now, I used to minimize this phrase, but I really, really like the notes of Dr. Simmons on this. In this phrase, I would always say, okay, his mind's fixed on the Lord and the things of the Lord. And you know, in the morning, at night, man, he prays before he goes to bed, reads the Bible before he goes to bed, says, God, give me supernatural sleep. You know, Bill Johnson, something stuck with me. And he said, man, I always pray supernatural sleep over myself, over my family, you know, that God would come and visit us in the night and download us and all of that stuff. And that is one way to look at this 24/7. But I think it's bigger than that. Dr. Simmons comes in these notes, and he says, I love this, Jamie. Dr. Simmons comes in these notes, and he says that light can represent seasons of understanding, seasons let me just read it to you. Day signifies a period of enlightenment. And night signifies a period of obscurity. Let's face it, guys, the reality of us and the reality of our humanity is we can be here to here real quick, right? We can feel like, man, this is just, I mean, I look at church life, you know, and it's, you feel like, boy, these things are moving and you got momentum and all of that. And then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, you're like, well, we're in ball season or we're in summer vacation. Or we're in this and we're in this. And maybe it doesn't feel like it did when it was a day signifying enlightenment. Maybe just a revelation from God is so fresh and all of this. And then there's a time where it's like, God, I know you're there. But it's just like not at the, you ain't knocking my socks off right now. And he says his passion is to remain true, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. And I think what he's talking about, I believe in light of what we're saying this morning, that this guy is pressing into the Lord when things are right there, fresh, you're rocking my world. Or maybe it's in this thing of like, okay, God, I'm kind of going through a rough patch here. You know, I don't believe that we should be constrained by seasons. I don't believe a kingdom man is supposed to be a seasonal man. I don't think it's like, well, it's just winter, you know, and we'll be dormant for a while, but it'll come back around and all that. I don't think we're supposed to be that. But the reality is we can be here and we can be here in a short period of time. But this man that he's talking about in Psalm 1 is he presses in with his root system into the Lord no matter what the time looks like, no matter what the, if you will, season looks like. I'm not just pressing in the Lord when everything's happening. I'm not just pressing in the Lord when I go to a conference and it gets jacked up and it's good. That's easy. We go to the call and there's 50,000 people and they're praying in the rain all day long. It's easy to press into the Lord in that. But when I come home and it feels like I get bombarded with the enemy or maybe discouragement comes in, or maybe I'm dealing with sickness, or maybe my arthritis is flaring up and I'm like, okay, God, or her back's hurting or whatever it might look like. And we're like, okay, God, I know that you're our healer, but I'm not feeling it right now. This guy right here with his root system, you know what he does? He's still tapping in deeper to the Lord. Because there are days you're going to feel like, man, I'm 4 for 4 and just hit 3 home runs. And then there are times when maybe you're not. But you don't quit being you. You don't quit being you. You don't quit being who God called you and created you to be. You don't quit being the person that he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. The promises that he has over that. You know, maybe you and Amber ain't always sitting on the back porch holding hands, chilling to some jazz. Maybe it's like, man, she was kind of ill today, and maybe I've just hadn't been my best, and I've been a little snappy and all of that stuff. Your roots keep doing in even in that time, even in that season. I remember raising young kids. Sometimes, man, you go, y'all are probably out of the not getting much sleep and all that, but you go through the times where you don't get much sleep and it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. You know, you're kind of in survival mode. The man that he talks about in Psalm number 1, his roots keep going deeper even when he's in survival mode. That's how you become the unwavering, the unshakable dude. That's how I've been through drought before. One of the biggest mysteries of me, and I see it twice in Abraham and I see it once in Isaac, is when famine hit and drought hit and they go running to Egypt or a foreign country and they go in and start lying about who their wives are. And me and James, we've had that conversation before. I cannot wrap my head around that. I mean, it just shows the humanity of men, I guess. I can't imagine ever telling the king she's my sister, knowing he might take her and sleep with her to save my hide. I just don't think I'm wired that way. But yet I fail in other areas. And yet we look at that and we see these men that become great patriarchs of the faith because of their walk with God and their relationship with God. And maybe in those moments, those lapses where they fail and they didn't get it right, but yet they had been planting such a deep root system with the Lord, the wind didn't snap them off. And they learned from it and they moved on and God used them again. David was like that. Man, I look at the whole Bathsheba and the Uriah thing and I'm like, man, come on, dude. He was the guy. And you killed him. You could have had any woman not any woman, but my gosh. You live in a polygamous society and you got concubines and all that, but you got to have her. But yet his root system had been so deep with the Lord that God could bring him through that and still use him in a mighty way. You know, Peter, when he denied the Lord, and I think the key to his success, yeah, he messed up. But man, it was only a few weeks later and he was passionately preaching and thousands were getting saved. And his essence of the presence of God in his life was falling on people and they were getting healed. And I think the key to it is because these guys had such a root system in the Lord. Jude, if anything, get a root system with the Lord, man. And I won't go there for sake of time today, but Colossians 1 and Colossians 2. Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul, everything he's talking about in there is Christ in you. And in Colossians 2, he switches over and it's you in Christ. And you're responsible for that. Yeah, he'll pursue you and he'll embrace you. But have you ever hugged anybody that didn't hug you back? You know? Maybe the great aunt that you're kind of like, oh, Lord, and she gives you the big hug and you just kind of like that. You didn't hug her back. We've been on both ends of that, right? Well, the Lord's going to embrace you, but it's up to you to hug him back. Sarah embraced in Hebrews 11. Then she rested. And then she tapped into. And so as he pursues us and he has all of these amazing things in our life, it's the depth of our life is determined by how much we exercise our faith, how much we put our faith to it and say, I'm tapping deep in my faith. And that's going to be the key to your success. That'll be what determines whether or not you're one of these guys that's like unwavering, unshakable, man, it's dude rock solid, or the ones where it's like, ooh, okay. I didn't see that happening. Or maybe I didn't see it happening, but it doesn't surprise me. I don't want you to be that guy. I want you to be the guy that's unwavering and unshakable. And in this, in what he's saying in Psalm 1, is that you let your root system go deep day and night. Sometimes maybe you ain't feeling. Now sometimes you're just like on fire, man. I'm just like, you know, God's just blowing up inside of me. And it's sometimes like, okay, I know he loves me. I know what the word says about me, but maybe I'm not, you know, feeling all of that right now. That's when you still keep tapping your root in. That's when you still keep going and working on that root system. That's what determines your life. That's what's going to determine the measure of your life. Let's look on and read a few more verses. Everybody stand with me. Are y'all good? I know this is meat and potatoes. This is comfort food, but this is important. Because we can do flashy stuff and, you know, you can be a bottle rocket. Or we can do something and you can be unwavering and unshakable. And when you're 60 years old, when you're 70 years old, when you're 80 years old, you're still rock solid in your faith. Matter of fact, you're deeper in your faith than you've ever been. He said his passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design. Deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. And then he contrasts that with the wicked. But how different are the wicked? They are like chaff blown away by the wind. Then he goes on and talks about that. And he comes back in verse 6. He says, but how different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked leads only to doom. I'm going to close, and I wasn't planning on reading this, but I'm going to read this to you also today. The Lord really impressed this on me this morning. I wanted to go to spend some more time in Colossians, but we'll catch that at another date. I want to read Psalm 92, the last part of this. Sorry, Casey, I didn't give you this. I'm going to start in verse 10. He said, your anointing has made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. Look at that. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. You've said that those lying in wait to pounce on me would be defeated. Now it's happened right in front of my eyes, and I've heard their cries of surrender. Verse 12. Yes. Look how you've made all your devoted lovers to flourish like palm trees, each one growing in victory, standing with strength. Verse 13, you've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you. For in your presence they will still overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age they will stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Listen to them. With pleasure they still proclaim, you're so good, you're my beautiful strength, you've never made a mistake with me. The word says that the Lord plants us by the waters. In Psalm 92, he says, you've transplanted us into your courtyard, which means into your presence. That's where we're planted in Christ. Every opportunity is there for us to flourish, to bring forth beautiful fruit. The way I look at this, all of these texts, the way I look at all of this scripture, the way that the Lord speaks to me, you know what my one responsibility is? Not where I'm planted. Not what type of tree I am. Some places he says I'm an oak tree. Some places he says I'm a palm tree. And everywhere he says I bear fruit. But my responsibility is not what type of tree I am. I have one single responsibility. And you know what that is? Is to take care of my root system. Where my roots go. Where does my tap root go? That's my role and responsibility. I see the Lord taking care of everything else, or it will be a natural result of him planting me in a fertile place by water, and all I have to do is focus on my roots in him. As I do that, everything else is going to take care of itself. I'm not concerned about all of these things on the periphery. I'm not distracted by these things. My apple cart is not upended by these things. What matters is, how do I tend to my roots? He takes care of the rest. Quit worrying about the drought. He planted you by water. Take care of your roots. Quit worrying about your fruit. I hope everybody sees my fruit. Let him take care of the fruit. You worry about the roots. I hope they know how much I love the Lord, how committed I am and all that. Just worry about the roots. Worry about the roots. Worry about the roots. And that'll flourish. Worry about the roots, that'll flourish. Worry about the roots, they'll flourish. Worry about the roots. Go deeper in Him. And that's how you will flourish. That's how you'll be unwavering. That's how you'll be steadfast. That's how you'll be the guy that God dreams of you becoming. Not creating your own path to get there. It's my roots. Because He'll transplant you. That's the beauty thing. Beauty of it. Is we're transplanted into His courtyards. I'll close with this in Isaiah 62, and y'all have heard me teach on this a good bit, a long time ago. But I read it again this morning. He says, he talks about us being in Christ, and he talks about us being the beauty of the nations and all of these things. He talks about us being the light of the world and the Gentiles coming to us, all these things in Isaiah 60 and 61. But in Isaiah 62, he comes in and he gets real personal with us, and it's a root thing, not a fruit thing, because so much of the other is a fruit thing. But in 62, he comes in and he talks about a root thing, and he says, I have named you Hephzibah. And that means my beloved. That means you're transplanted into me because you're my beloved. And then he comes on top of that and he said, and your land will be called Beulah. And you know what that means? Married to. If you will let him transplant you where he wants to transplant you, and I am not talking about geographically people, let him transplant you where he wants to transplant you, in his courtyard, in his presence. If you'll let him do that, as his beloved, as Hephzibah, then you don't have to worry about your land, because he'll marry himself to it. He'll marry himself to it. You don't have to worry about your world. He'll marry himself to it. If you are his beloved and you allow him to transplant you, he will marry himself to your land, and it'll be called Beulah Land. I don't know about you guys. It takes pressure off me. All I got to do is tend to roots. Stay grounded in him. Run deeper into him with that tap. Drink of his life source. That's all I have to do. You don't have to, all you young people, you don't have to make your way. He's already been there before you. Why don't you just focus on your root system? Focus on your root system. Your Hephzibah. And your land's Beulah. And that's a pretty great place. All this will come together. You kind of at that age, you know, not a kid, not an adult, well, kind of an adult, getting there on adulthood, kind of in between, you know. And so it's like, okay, I got to make my path and all of this stuff. Focus on your roots. Focus on your roots. Let him transplant you in his courtyard. Let him call you my beloved. Let him marry himself to your world. He will. And you'll flourish in your world. Because he's married himself to that. The transplanting takes place first, though. He calls us Hephzibah before he calls our land Beulah. Okay? All right? Everybody good? All right, y'all stand to your feet. Man, y'all are all like just deathly silent right now. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sid. I appreciate the good word. Transform my life. He will. He will. Your roots will make you great. Because they're tapped into him. They're planted in his soil. Okay. The leaf will happen. The leaf will happen. Your and Ambry's leaf will happen. Just focus on the roots. When I'm focused on my roots, I can't see a shining leaf that comes by in front of me. Because I'm looking at the soil that I'm planted in. And I know that it's amazing. The Apostle Paul, I think it was either in Colossians or Ephesians, he's telling them all these things, some of the stuff that we read and some of the notes I had. And immediately he comes right in my head. He said, don't let anybody distract you. Don't let anybody distract you, because the enemy will try to distract you. He'll try to get you to take your eye off the prize. And the prize is not the scope of your life. The prize is the depth of your life. God will determine the scope. And from what I read in Ephesians 3, that's going to be pretty doggone wow and amazing. We're like, man, I just want my life to be big and to matter. He's got that covered. More than you can even imagine, James. He's got that covered. The roots. Amen. All right. You guys have an awesome week this week. Love y'all. Y'all press into him day and night. And let him do what he does. One quick announcement. I don't know if y'all knew or not, but we ordered a new playground set for the younger kids. That one was getting, it's been here a long time. The plastic was starting to break down and all that. Anyway, we ordered a whole new playground set. It's coming in a couple weeks. We're trying to get that one. Jeffrey and them came up here yesterday to try to get that one moved off. And it's kind of interlocked together, so we need several guys to kind of pick up at the same time so we can break that interlocking and then take it apart in pieces. So, man, if some of us can bounce back there for, 10 minutes and try to break that thing loose, that would be awesome. Just while we got some bodies here. So if we can bounce out and do that, because they'll be coming in with a new playground set for the little kids in a couple weeks. So, all right, we'll do that. Love you guys. Y'all have an amazing week.